Book of Jude this morning, the book of Jude, please. Right before the book of the Revelation, the book of Jude. I want to go down to verse number 20, verse number 20. We live in exciting times, amen? Technology, isn't it great? How many like technology? How many wish you was back about 50 years ago and you still had outhouses? You do like a little technology, don't you? Before we read this morning, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have the great, wonderful opportunity to be able to be in the house of the Lord today. Oh God, I pray You might teach us today. I pray that You might cause our attention to be riveted upon You. Oh Lord God, may we leave from this place having met with You. May we, oh God, Spirit of God, move upon us. Do that which is so necessary in our lives. We do pray in Christ's name. Amen. The book of Jude, chapter number 1, of course, and I want to begin verse number 20, and I want to read down to the end of this chapter, or this book. Beginning verse number 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Please go ahead and be seated. I'm excited in the times we live. I believe that we live in a time that folks can still get saved. I believe that the power of the Word of God is just as great today as it ever was. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is as real today as He ever was. Often as Christians, they say, well, it's so much harder in our day. Maybe because we're trying to do it and not allowing God to work through us. I'm thankful today that God used some people in my life. I'm glad that God made a difference in my life because of some people. I look back and perhaps the very first person that made such a tremendous difference in my life as far as ministry was concerned was a man by the name of Kenny Blue. Kenny today is in Monroe, Washington. I believe that's the right town. He has ALS. He's in the last stages. He is confined to a wheelchair. It's very difficult to talk to him. I did this week, and he's still able to get at his computer, write things. In fact, if you want to go online, look at KenBlueMinistries.com. You'll find him there. And made a great impression in my life in early years. And I'm so thankful that he took me under wing and had the privilege to work with him for 3 years in the city of Seattle. More technically, we started in Mount Lake Terrace and went to Linwood, Washington, just suburbs. There was another man that was very much used by God in my life. His name was Tom Malone. He was the really the man who started the Emmanuel Baptist Church way back in the early 50s in Pontiac, Michigan. Later started the Midwestern Baptist College, which I attended, and had a tremendous impact in my life in those years from 67 to 70. Along with him was another man by the name of Paul Vanneman. Dr. Malone, by the way, is in glory today, Paul Vanneman as well. Dr. Vanneman is one of our professors there. He also pastored the Dixie Road Baptist Church, which was in an area north and west of Pontiac, and I don't know why particularly, but it was just his style. his personality and so many things that made tremendous impression in my life, and I'm very thankful that God used these men in my life. I look at verse number 22, and it says, "If some have compassion," and notice the little phrase there, "making a difference." What a difference they made in my life. This particular book, if we were to study its entirety, we would find that it is here for you and I to understand that there are forces out there, those who are seeking to deceive us through false doctrines and false teachings, that we might believe falsely about God. You walk up to somebody and say, if you died today, do you know that you go to heaven? And they might say, yeah, I know that. And you might say to them, well, how do you know that? And they would say, well, I am really a good person. And you would say, you are deceived. Because the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. And we find that folks believe sometimes that the way to heaven is through the baptistry. And sometimes they believe not just the baptistry, but perhaps they can just be sprinkled and that's going to get them into heaven. And that is not true statements. We find, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you and I were saved by faith, but there are many, many teachings out there that are contrary to that. In verse number 4 of this particular text, and I read, it says, "There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Interesting, we find that folks like this have a woe placed upon them. Verse 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." We find certainly three that are brought out of the Old Testament to examine. But we find that basically men and women do this because they are, I believe, swelled up to their own exaltation, their own pride. It says in verse 16, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust and their mouth, speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Well, we note from the Scripture that certainly there are that which is false. We find that there are many, many things that are teaching us wrongly. But more importantly in this book, we find that God wants to teach us a defense against that which is false. If you go down to verse number 20, we dealt with this on Wednesday night. It says in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." We find that first of all, if we are going to combat that which is error, we must be lovers of the truth. That means we are lovers of the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. And therein we must stand. We find in the very same verse, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Not only must we be a people who are in the book and lovers of the book, but we must be praying, seeking God's answers in our lives. Far too often when we pray, we're seeking our own answers. Far too often we're praying and telling God how to answer our prayers. We're telling God, make us rich. We're telling God, do this for us, do that for us. Rather than seeking for God to do it the way He needs to do it in our lives. And so we ought to be prayers in the Holy Ghost. By the way, if you allow the Spirit of God to direct your prayers, they will always, are you listening, always be answered. Some people say, well, God answers my prayers, but He says no. If you're praying under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, is He going to tell Himself no? My Bible is replete with far too many promises telling me that He will answer our prayers. But not only are we to be praying in the Spirit of God, but if you notice in verse number 21, He says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." In other words, you and I need to be involved with activities that keep our mind upon Him, not taking our minds away from Him. There are far too many distractions in this world that we allow to remove our minds from Him. And then notice verse 21, the latter portion here, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I believe that's simply saying, be expecting His soon return. There's something about expectation of the return of Christ that causes you and I to be pure. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. And so here we find a fourfold method by which you and I can find ourselves away from error and placing ourselves in the path of truth. However, this does not stop here. If you notice verse number 22, how does it start? And. If you notice, have you really looked at the Bible and seen that God does not do what your English teacher told you to do? Do you remember your English teacher saying, don't ever start a sentence with and? Did you know, Sterling, she was wrong? If she'd have read her Bible, she would have known that. Matter of fact, if you study the English language, you find out that when you start a sentence with the book of and, not only does it connect you with the previous sentence, but it is highlighting this particular sentence and showing to us its importance. So now he says, and connecting back, hey, there's four things we need to do, but hey, there's something else we need to do. And notice what it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You and I today, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to lead people away from error. Aren't we fancy this morning? We'll be fancy when we get at it. That's a person. You don't want me to make a stick person. That is one individual. That is you, that is me, that is people that is round about us. Now there's something that we find as we read those first, or we didn't read, but just looked at it very quickly. Around every person is this element of error. False teaching, false ideas. And God says to you and I, that we are to what? Have compassion on them, making a what? A difference. God wants you and I to make a difference in some lives. He wants us to lead people out of that place of error. That thing that has them caught up. And by the way, this might even be Christians who've gotten themselves into a place of error concerning the Word of God. Now, we're taught in the Word of God that we are to bear our own burdens, but we're also taught in the Word of God we're to bear the burdens of one another. And so we have a responsibility to individuals who are encapsulated with error. They have wrong ideas. They have wrong ideals. And so you and I are to make a difference. Now, we can take this little term here, or this little phrase, making a difference, and apply it in two different ways. One of those is, we can make a difference in their lives. But secondly, we can discern the differences in their lives that we might minister more responsibly. Did you catch that? Oh, let's ask a question some more. We're going to take a survey this morning. We'll find out something real fast. How many in this room are an individual? How many in this room, you're a party? You're a group? No, you're not a group. You might be in a group, but you're not a group. I hate to inform you of that. Okay, you might be in a group, but you are an individual. Isn't that true? God made all of us individuals. Have you noticed that when God created us, He made all of us different? Isn't that true? Man, all you got to do is look at each other. And we can recognize each other. What are we recognizing? We're recognizing there's differences. There's all sorts of differences. By the way, do you know that's where prejudices come? Because we see differences and we think, oh, we're better than them because my differences are better than their differences. Oh, really? God made all of us. Amen? Yeah. All of us. So we're individuals, and all of us, we are what? We are captured in that untruthfulness. That's where we're at. And so God wants you and I to discern individuals that we might also help them and make a difference in their life. Notice verse number 22 for just a few moments. This is of some. Well, there's individuals, but He's not going to talk about all of them here. He's going to say some of them have compassion. There are certain individuals, if we're going to reach them for the Lord, we must show them compassion. Well, we're going to notice very vividly in just a moment that there's others that we must do something else. And He gives us a couple of ways here, but notice we must love people. Oh my goodness, you know, sometimes there's a problem though with us. Sometimes as we're ministering, rather than loving the people, we just love giving it to them. I heard a preacher one day, I saw him on a Monday, and he just preached on the Sunday morning. And I walked in and I said, How are you doing? And he says, oh, I'm doing fine. Boy, I really gave it to him yesterday. He was enthralled with giving it to him. I stopped and I thought about that as I was in my office. I got to thinking, you know, I get excited about giving material, giving things and giving information to people. But there's something far better than giving people information. It's loving the people. Sometimes we love the information we give them. Sometimes we love to be in front of them. We might be a teacher. We might be a preacher. We might be in one of those places where we're in front of a group of people. And we get excited about it because we're in front of them. We love being in that place of predominance rather than loving the person. And sometimes we fall in love with the style we do it, the manner in which we accomplish it. And we're more concerned with that than loving the people. God wants you and I to love people. Love the individual. Because what? Individuals, they are wrapped in falsehood. And if we are going to accomplish anything, we need to love to see them have the truth. Having compassion is in what I describe as the present perfect tense, which simply means it's ongoing. It's enduring to the end. It's not something we do for a little bit. We keep at it. Do you realize this morning there are those who need just that gentle touch in their hand to pull them away from the false teachings of the devil? They don't need badgered. They don't need negativity. They simply need somebody to show them compassion. They already know they're wrong. They already know things aren't right. They're already aware of their condition. They just need somebody to love them. What's He saying to us concerning that? And if some have compassion, they just need to know that there's somebody as an individual that loves them. That's us. That's me. That's you. We've been set free if we're saved today. We've got the truth surrounding us. As a matter of fact, I'm not a great artist. We ought to have love as a part of our being. Loving individuals. They're all different. Everyone's different. I look at teenagers. They're different. I look at older folks. They're different. I've looked in the mirror. I've changed. We're individuals. But there's so many people. What they need is love. And that it would make a difference. What I want you to see is a person who is trapped in error has a person who loves them. And the difference is now they're presented without sin before our Savior. Amen? One in error met with one with love who has the truth can cause or allow the Lord Jesus Christ to erase all of the sin and make them stand without sin before the Savior. Amen? But not everybody's alike, are they? Though we're all humans, we're individuals encapsulated with error. Notice what it says in verse number 22. And others save with what? Fear. Save with fear. Other folks, they need to hear some things very sternly. They need to be told, by the way, with love, but they need to be told in a different manner than others. The book of Romans, chapter 11, I think, kind of points this out. He says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. To provoke to emulation, to provoke to be equal to or to surpass, but to provoke them. To wake them up, to help them to understand there is a God in heaven to be feared. There is a judgment that is coming. There is that which your sin is going to take you to. Some will not respond to the softness of love, but they need the toughness of it. They need to hear it in a more stern manner. And so God wants you and I to be able to learn to make the difference. To discern those who are before us. There are some that we can speak to softly and some that sometimes we almost have to, the phrase, get in their face before they respond. There are those who want somebody to just tell them straight as to what's wrong with them. Because they look at that individual as the one who really cares. And so we have you and I, we come with a heart. That's a mouth. It's a big mouth. There are others we got to do it differently with. But God wants you and I to understand something. The same formula works. you and I who stand between they and heaven or hell in some sense, as we love them, as we do so softly or hardly, it is for the purpose of making the difference. Making a difference. We had three little boys up here. They've been coming to our Sunday school, I think, quite some time. Corbin, you're still in here. How long have you been hanging around here? Anybody know? Do you have him in your class? He's since he was two? Four? How old are you now?
Nine.
5 years? 5 years. What's our purpose? Make a difference in Corbin's life. Make a difference. Alyssa, do I have it right? How long have you been here? Come on, sit up, sweetheart. I know I'm boring, but not that bad. How long have you been around? Not as long, though, have you? How long have you been here? 3 years?
Maybe. Since kindergarten.
Since kindergarten. Okay. What are you now?
Eight.
Third grade? Very good. You passed all those years? Okay. Some of these folks out here spent a long time in kindergarten. But we're here to what? Make a difference. Make a difference. That's what it's for. How long have I known you, Rachel? You're supposed to say so many years, but you're going to leave that alone, aren't you? Okay. There's several in this room. I've known them all their life. I hope I've made a difference. That's why God left us here. There are people out there that you and I have the privilege to meet up with to what make a difference. We need to discern what kind of person are they. Some need very tender care. Others need us to, what? Tell them very straight. But God wants us to make a difference. We got all these little Sunday school kids. We got adults. What's the purpose? Make a difference. Brethren, it still can be done in 2013. I don't care what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't care what's going on in New York City. It does not matter what's happening in Paris, France. God is still God. The Holy Spirit is still the one who brings conviction. The Word of God is still true. We still have the wonderful privilege to tell others about Jesus. And they still can get saved. Mr. Briggs, say amen. What's it been? 5 weeks? It still works. God can save souls. Brethren, God left us here to make a difference. Discern the people that we're dealing with. Everybody's different. But they're an individual. Surrounding by the what? All sorts of things. All sorts of beliefs and philosophies. But there's one thing that will change it. It's the truth of the Word of God. And God give us the ability to discern how to offer it to them. Father, today, work in our hearts. Such a need there is. Oh God, we have neighbors, we have work associates, We have so many, O God, that sometimes we think they cannot be reached. But Lord, we know that's false. We know, O God, that You're as real today as ever. You've shown that to us. I pray, O God, that we might be encouraged in our witness for the things of God. Lord, I pray that we might realize that there are, as we looked at in Sunday school, divine appointments. There are people that You bring across our path day in and day out. Oh God, we might be aware of that and allow You to use us. Lord, bless and work in our hearts. Lord, I pray in these moments You help us look inside, because often we get cold and indifferent. We become a people that are more concerned about ourselves and those about us. We get wrapped up in our own problems rather than realizing that there are literally millions of people who have the problem of an eternal hell awaiting them. Oh God, forgive us. Work in our hearts today. And Lord, I pray for that one in this room who may not know Your Savior, that they might this day realize there is a need of Him. Work in and through us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.